and Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr. Thanks for taking time to be with us this week. I have a great guest with us tonight, Dr. Lawrence Wiltson, and we're going to talk primarily about, he does a lot of things, but we're going to talk primarily about his work with metal pulling, you know, manipulating heavy metals in your body, how to get them out when they're stuck in, among other things. How are you, Dr. Wiltson?
Doing great, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time to be with us tonight. I know you manipulated your schedule a couple of times due to conflicts and things, but I really appreciate it. I think what you're doing is really important.
My pleasure.
So before we get started, would you tell my listeners a little bit about you, how you came to do what you do, and where they can find you so they can be looking at your site while they listen?
Oh, okay. Well, I have a large website, and that website, a very large website, has almost 1,100 articles on it that anyone can read. Most of them are on nutrition and nutritional balancing science. There are a few political articles and other things, and there's a reason why they're there. People think I'm crazy to have political articles, but there's a reason. Because your thinking does matter. But anyway, most of it is on nutrition. The website is www.dr, like doctor, drlwilson.com. drlwilson.com. The L is very important, otherwise you get another Dr. Wilson.
And tell us, what is your background? What kind
of
doctor
basically,
are you?
I'm a medical doctor. I have a medical degree. I never got licensed as a medical doctor. I didn't really want to be a medical doctor. My brother developed cancer when I was about 17, and it shifted my life dramatically. Before that, I had no interest in what's called the life sciences, you know, biology and chemistry and healing. I had no interest in that at all. I actually went to college for electrical engineering, went to MIT. But when my brother suddenly got sick, I became extremely fearful, of course. He was diagnosed late. And then I watched him go through chemotherapy and radiation, which was horrible, you know, the side effects. And I felt rather helpless about the whole thing for a couple of years. Then I wandered into a health food store. Actually, I had read in a book first that there were people who never got cancer, and that was shocking to me, amazing to even think that way. And so I actually read a book, found a book in a health food store about the Hunza people in Asia, and that they didn't get cancer. And some of them lived to 125, 130, and they were, you know, they were just fine. And that was amazing to me because I began to realize that I grew up in a family that was very medically oriented and full of fear, as are most people, of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, cancer being probably the number one. And that led me to completely switch my focus. And eventually I went to medical school because my family said, well, this is all interesting, but you're not a doctor. We're not going to listen to you. They sent me around to their friends who were doctors. My uncle was a doctor. They were very, they listened to me, but they basically, you know, just thought I was a little nuts. And they were kind about it, but they said, you know, we just don't do things this way. And I would bring them studies and books. And they said, well, don't you think if there was any truth to this that we would be doing it? And I thought, yeah, you know, that makes sense. I learned slowly that there was a lot they didn't know, and nutrition was probably the biggest subject. It was like a gap in their knowledge. And when I would talk to them, I started asking them, well, do you know about this method? I read Dr. Max Gerson and macrobiotics and raw food and vegetarian diets and many things. And they would have to tell me the truth was, no, we really don't know it. But I realized that they weren't taught it at all. And slowly, over about a 10-year period, I went through a metamorphosis. It was quite dramatic, where I lost my faith and my trust in the medical profession. I had been raised, if there's anything wrong, you go to the doctor. The doctor takes care of you. They know what they're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You know, that kind of attitude. And at the same time, my own health fell apart. I went to medical school in Mexico. It was very rough. I got all kinds of diseases down there, which anyone, I think, who lives down there probably does, but I wasn't the most careful person either. I wanted to eat all kinds of things and so forth. And so I had to start searching out my own health, and all the reading that I had done was not enough. But I ended up, I started a medical residency. I left it in part for poor health, but I also did some things I didn't like foot reflexology, and they told me to leave. And anyway, I was happy to leave. I didn't like it. But I ended up in Phoenix, and I had a friend. He was doing the Kelly Metabolic Cancer Therapy Program. He had gotten well with it, and he taught me it. He put me on that program, and I sat around. I had plenty of time to learn it. I wasn't doing very much. In those days, I didn't feel very well. I was exhausted and depressed and anxious and couldn't sleep and aches and pains. Then I met Dr. Paul Eck, and that program did help me, by the way. But it was very expensive, and it was progress was slow. Then I went to a health expo. I met Dr. Paul Eck, and Dr. Eck was doing hair analysis, and he was doing nutritional balancing therapy, nutritional balancing science, and it was just being developed at that time. And I switched over to his program because he said he would teach it to me, and he did. He told me all the books to read. Dr. Kelly had not really taught it to people. He just said, do this because I say to do it, and do that because I say to do it. And that was not enough for me. I was not happy with that. Dr. Eck, it turns out, had taught Dr. Kelly. And Dr. Eck pointed me in the direction of the books that he used to come up with this science. The work of Hans Selye, which is the general adaptation syndrome and the stress theory of disease, the work of George Watson, the oxidation types, fascinating idea, the work of Melvin Page, sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system concepts, and others, Carl Pfeiffer, who wrote extensively about nutrition, and other people. Dr. Eck was a very, very well-read scientist. Anyway, I started to do his work. I actually went to work for him one day a week, and I spent 14 years working with him. In addition, I did my own thing, which was I added coffee enemas, the Roy Masters meditation that I had learned from this man in Oregon, Roy Masters, and later I added sauna therapy. I did a lot of foot reflexology. I went to chiropractors. I did Rolfing. I did other things because I was not in good shape. And eventually I've put all those together. And so the programs that we do now are the work of Dr. Paul Eck in terms of diet and supplements, but they've been modified and improved quite a lot, the diets and the supplements. And I've added the procedures, and that's the coffee enemas, saunas, the light sauna, the red lamp sauna, not other types, not the far infrared and not the traditional sauna.
Say that again.
It's a sauna made out of red heat lamps.
Okay.
The sauna made out of red heat lamps as heaters. And these red heat lamps are sold at Home Depot. They're $10. We're not talking about something fancy and expensive. You can buy them on my website are the list of the people or companies that make them. Or you can make your own. They're free plans on the website. But the sauna, very powerful, very, very powerful and simple. The coffee enema, very powerful and simple. foot reflexology, very powerful and simple. What I call the spinal twist every day. Keep your spine limber. Now, it's fine to go to a chiropractor, but you can do this every day. Sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes you need chiropractic. Sometimes it's better than chiropractors. I find that sometimes chiropractors don't want to work on people. If you're older, if they're a little hesitant for one whatever reason, they might be afraid they're going to hurt you. So the spinal twist is very, very good. Those are called the procedures, and those are the main ones. There are some newer ones. I'll just mention them. They're on my website. They're on the home page. There are links. It says the procedures. One of them is a kelp wrap. You know, people pay $1,000 a day at some of these fancy health spas, and they take mud baths and things like this. Well, it turns out that people are so demineralized today that a lot of them, in the beginning, benefit from putting kelp on the skin, in addition to the proper diet, which is mainly cooked vegetables with some animal protein, not vegetarian, and not a lot of raw food, and not smoothies, which are bad food combinations and hard on your digestion. And I realize that some of these ideas are controversial. Other people do not agree with them. But I've been doing this for 35 years. My health is so much drastically better, I can't even believe it, and that of thousands of other people, because I work with several thousand clients through a group of practitioners, about 110 practitioners. So I get a lot of feedback. We do a lot of research.
Well, before we get started on talking about all the details, I do want to say this. My listeners know about years ago when my daughter was sick.
Yes.
And I want to tell my listeners that this is the doctor's protocol that we followed to get my daughter well.
Yes. And when you say your daughter was sick, you mean your daughter was traumatized.
Yes, she was traumatized and got a subsequent addiction.
Okay.
Whatever, I don't even know what, whatever she was.
Yeah, she experienced rape, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've told your listeners about this. And this will sound unusual, but because there is probably an 80-page article about rape on my website, it's one of the largest, it's book length, basically, it's like a small book, we get a lot of cases like that. We get a lot of young women or even older women. And they do very well. They do very well. We get a lot of comments. And
well,
that's because it's a bioenergetic approach to trauma. It's not just rape, but rape is an important trauma. Bioenergetic means that we improve the person's energy level drastically. Now, that is in addition to removing toxic metals, renourishing the body, you know, balancing the minerals, and then other things, making the body more young, which is a very, very important concept. And the combination is wonderful, because just counseling alone, which I know you probably, you told me you did a lot of things for your daughter before that.
Anything you can think of. Anything.
But somehow this is an integrated approach.
And this was the thing that pushed it over the line so that I could go to, and I don't want to get too distracted on my daughter, because we did a whole, you know, several interviews about this before.
Mm-hmm.
I did one with Pam Colleen about it too, but
yeah.
And we did one with you a couple months ago. But I want to tell people, she was so bad that I couldn't go to sleep every night, because
mm-hmm.
she would cut or run away or use, and this program is the thing that we use to beat that addiction. Of course, she cooperated, you know, so that helped.
Well, you got to cooperate. The program requires some self-discipline. But you know what? A lot of people are willing. They're very willing. They want to get well.
Yeah,
you know, unfortunately, Pam Colleen is not working with us anymore. She's off doing other things. So just to let people know that. But
so,
anyway.
So
yes.
Let's start with, I wanted to have some tangible thing to talk about so that I could say I experienced this myself, you know, personally. So we ran a hair analysis test on me, which is what you do. You start out with the hair analysis test.
So we use that test.
I want to go over this test so I can confirm or deny how accurate I think it is so my listeners will get it. And
okay.
Then we'll talk about, you know, what you suggest and or what you think this test means. And I'm pretty in tune with my body, so I just want my listeners to know they can believe you. And if I've experienced it myself and I tell them, then that will help them know that it's really real. So.
Yeah, well, your daughter's, you know, experience, I think, is valid. You haven't gone through the program. We need to tell people, you know, this is just a test.
Yes.
And the way the test works is that the body chemistry is in layers. The body, we sort of pile insult upon insult upon insult, usually. You know what I mean? And so by the time a person is 50, say, or 40, or even 20, they've got a pile of things, and the test is the top layer. You need to, you know, I think I explained
place. It's a starting place because, I mean,
yes,
a woman
it's a starting place to help
week.
Us guide correction.
Yes. And she wanted to know, you know, every time she goes someplace, some different doctor tells her a different place to start, and I'm like, look, just pick one thing. Let's pick this thing, for example.
Yeah.
This is a starting place.
Yes.
So
and by the way, when I went away to find your test, I didn't see it. It must be filed somewhere else, or I set it aside. I do remember your test, though. I remember you had a four highs pattern.
I've got it. So
yeah.
Let me. I'll tell it to you, but I also want to tell you something else. I have. You said I had four highs, so I want to tell you this before we start talking, so you can tell me how this fits in with your test. I take a significant amount of a CalMag product.
Uh-huh.
A 4-to-1. I take 5 in the morning CalMag, 4-to-1, I think, plus 2 magnesium glycinates, and then I take the same thing again in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning I take 1 sodium potassium, and in the evening I take another one. And so I noticed you said I had high calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, but the ratios were poor. So, well, should I not take so many of those supplements?
Well,
here's the number. The calcium is 446, magnesium 38. Have you got a pencil? And I'll just run down these things real fast. Okay. Sodium 85, potassium 1, iron 0.8, copper 0.8, manganese 0.132, zinc 13, chromium 0.046,
mm-hmm.
selenium 0.084, phosphorus 203.
Yeah.
Arsenic.
You know, that's enough. We don't.
Okay.
Because you know we won't have time, especially if you want to talk about oxidation types.
Okay.
But calcium was 446. Magnesium was what?
38.
And it's sodium and potassium.
85 sodium, 1 potassium. No, 10.
Okay.
No, 1.
And by the way, I think you used a pubic hair sample. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't use pubic hair usually, just so to let you know. There were instructions there.
I
knew that you
short hair. I couldn't get it off anymore.
Yeah, I knew you did that because of the high phosphorus level. You know, I've reviewed, I don't know, 100,000 of these tests, perhaps, a lot. So I'm used to seeing them.
What
and
does that
mean? It's just, oh, well, for some reason, the phosphorus levels can go up on the pubic hair. And it's not as accurate because of that. The lab allows pubic hair, but I don't recommend it. The head hair, even underarm hair. Men can use beard hair or chest hair, a little more accurate. But it's okay. We can still talk about it. You are a very slow oxidizer, and I know you want to talk about oxidation. I would, you asked about your supplements. I would have you change supplements. Now, there's varying reasons for that. One reason that I do that is because I need to know for sure that the supplements are working and doing what they're supposed to do. So when people are using different brands of supplements, I don't know that. This is going to sound awful, but maybe you know this, Eva, that some of the supplement companies have been bought out by drug companies and others, and the supplements aren't working anymore. And some of this may be cheapness. You know, they cheapen the products. And some of it is malicious because the supplements are competition for drugs. And so they will buy out a company, and then they'll modify the products a little bit, and they just don't work as well. And I've run into this even with very fancy and expensive supplements.
Let's assume that I'm using a good supplement.
All right.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
In that case, I
would have you modify what you're taking to match the dosages that I recommended for you. For example, on calcium and magnesium, I believe I probably recommended about 700 to 800 milligrams of calcium and about 400 milligrams of magnesium. If you're anxious, you can take more than that, but probably not more than double that. And so, you know, we might want to talk about the oxidation types because it would help in understanding all this stuff. If I just start talking about vitamins, people are going to get all confused. They're going to think that that's the same
right
for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. I want to ask one question about this test before we move in.
Yeah.
These little bars,
yes,
say on the aluminum, it says 1.0 in aluminum.
Yes.
Does that mean that's how much I'm excreting or that's how much is in my body?
That's how, neither.
What does that
neither
mean?
That means that right now, the average amount in your hair, the milligrams per 100 grams percent, which means per 100 grams, that is the amount, 1.09 milligrams per 100 grams is in your hair. Now, why it's in your hair, there's various reasons for that. It could be that you're using underarm deodorants that have aluminum in it, you know, antiperspirants. You live in a warm climate. A lot of people do, right?
Here's my question then.
Yeah.
I use nothing like that. I have almost a perfect diet. I use salt for deodorant. But I did grow up in Birmingham, Alabama,
uh-huh,
and my father worked at U.S. Steel. And we would go there every night when I was a little kid to pick him up, and when we would leave, our car would be covered in this unbelievable thick stuff, you know,
dust
out from those. Could that be why I have such
high aluminum? First of all, your aluminum level at 1.09 is, I would say, average. In other words, it's not higher than the people who grew up anywhere.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that aluminum is all over the environment, and it's very hard to avoid. For example, it's added to our drinking water. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
It's added. It's called a flocculating agent. And this is very important for people to know. Not only is it in all the antiperspirants, and by the way, it's in the deodorant stone and the deodorant crystal. I had an argument with the man who was distributing those in Phoenix, and I smashed one of those deodorant stones on my desk, I remember, and sent it into the laboratory for analysis. You know, I smashed off a piece.
One of those salt things?
Yeah, one of those crystals. They're rocks or crystals that you rub under your arm. And
that's
it nearly ruined their equipment. It was so high in aluminum.
Well, what are you supposed to use?
Well, I'll tell you some of the things people find that works. There are some deodorants in the health food store that do not have aluminum in them. One of them is Weleda has one, and Dr. Hauschka has one. And some people use peroxide. They put 3% peroxide from the drugstore in a spray bottle, and they spray it under their arm. And it will kill germs. It doesn't have an odor, you know, a fragrance.
Yeah.
Some people use soap, a little bit of sweet-smelling soap.
Okay.
So there, those are all things that people use. I have a natural deodorant. What was that?
You have a natural deodorant?
Yeah, somebody, actually, this is one that one of our consultants actually designed. And it has some peroxide in it, I believe, and baking soda, you know, things like that.
Okay.
You can look in the health food store.
I'm so disappointed. I thought I worked so hard to try to do it right and to hear that, but you taught me something. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so let's
now, the other thing is, though, aluminum is everywhere. As I say, they add it to the drinking water because it gets dirt out of the water, makes it settle on the bottom. If you didn't have that, when you turn on your tap, some particles of dirt would come out.
Will those whole house filters, the good ones, get it out?
They'll take out some. It depends what kind of filter. If you have reverse osmosis, it takes pretty much all the minerals out. Just don't drink the water, because we do not like reverse osmosis water for drinking. But it will produce a mineral-free water. Same with distilled. It doesn't have any minerals, but don't drink it because it's missing minerals, and mineral deficiency is the biggest problem today. A carbon filter will take out maybe some of it. You can't avoid it too much. Sea salt all has aluminum in it, to a little bit, because aluminum is a natural substance. Then there's things like aluminum foil, you know, food items that are wrapped in aluminum is common. Aluminum cookware is used by some people. I wouldn't do that. It's very soft. It scrapes off. If you use a metal spoon especially, it scrapes right off into the food. And aluminum is found in baking soda, some baking sodas, or baking powder, excuse me. And it is found in drugs, Mylanta and Maalox, Gaviscan, Riopan. These are antacids. Not all of them. Tums doesn't have it, but those do. They're loaded with aluminum.
I think probably the majority of my listeners are going to be people that's moving to Whole Foods and...
Good. Well, that's a good start. I'll tell you something else that's loaded with aluminum, because I had a family. They were all drinking peppermint tea, and they thought that was great. It was growing outside their back door, and they just loved that the kids would pick it, and they lived on this tea. Well, they all had very high aluminum levels, and I ended up sending that off for analysis. That was the only factor I could find. They were a very health-conscious family, and it turns out that the mint family, all of it, peppermint, spearmint, and wintergreen are very high in aluminum, naturally high in aluminum.
Interesting.
And that was giving them aluminum, and you have to be careful with those teas.
Wow.
You know, I certainly wouldn't do more than one cup a day, probably a little less, because aluminum goes to your brain and can affect your brain, and it is associated with Alzheimer's disease, and we don't need that. We call aluminum the soft in the head mineral. Aluminum is a soft-in-the-head mineral. It definitely is associated with dementia. And by the way, I see it in teenagers now. They're drinking soda pop out of aluminum cans. They're eating stuff made with baking powder with aluminum in it, or they're using deodorants. And when they remove the aluminum, their brain gets sharper. If you want, I'll tell you about one case. Quickly.
Well, I want to be able to do, let me see how much time we have, because I want to make sure. It's 8:30, and I want to be able to make sure we cover oxidation, because people don't know what that is. My listeners are typically going to be somewhat educated about
generally. Well, this was a teenage boy who was in a reform school. He was kicked out of 5 high schools and was considered a troublemaker, and somehow they got my name. And when his driver brought him over from this, it was an institution. He whispered to me, "The kid's got a bad attitude." And when the young man sat down in my office, he says, "Doc, my brain doesn't work." And I cut his hair and, you know, put him on a program. And 6 months later, his driver brought him back for a retest, and he whispered in my ear, "The kid's attitude has turned around." And he sat down in my office, and he said, "Doc, my brain works." And he had high aluminum and high cadmium. And that's a big part of our young people today. So that's the story. Okay. Do you want to ask more about your test, or should we talk about your oxidation rate?
Well, is there anything else?
Oh, Abyssal, we could talk about your test for hours. I mean, I talked to you about it on my, you know, on the CD that I made you. Your calcium at 446 is extremely high. It's called a calcium shell. And there's an article.
Hidden bond here. What does that mean?
Hidden what?
It looks like you say hidden bond is what it looks, or hidden something.
And what's it next
potassium.
To?
Sodium. Sodium. It's on the sodium.
Oh, the sodium.
Hidden. It looks like hidden, and the second word is B-O-N something.
Hmm. You know, I'd
bones,
have to.
Maybe? Bones, maybe? Hidden in bones? I don't know.
No.
Anyway.
You have to listen to that CD. It should be on everything, plus a lot more is on there.
Well, let's just go to the oxidation and so.
Okay, your oxidation rate is slow. It is normal as an adult to have a slow oxidation rate. Oxidation rate is something like the metabolic rate. It is not exactly the same, because metabolic rate, technically, the medical doctors determine that with a basal metabolic rate. They measure how much oxygen your body consumes. It's not exactly the same. The oxidation rate, the term was coined by George Watson, PhD, at UCLA. He wrote a book called Nutrition and Your Mind, and it's in there. That's where it came from. Dr. Paul Eck found, and Dr. Watson used blood tests and odor tests. The whole concept was developed because Dr. Watson was doing odor testing, and he found out that certain people, he had a whole bunch of little vials of different things like liver and yeast and, you know, various smells, and he found people fell into two categories. And at first he told them group one and group two, but then he started doing research on body chemistry, and he started to call them fast and slow oxidizers. And that's how the concept originated. It is very similar to ancient Oriental concept of yin and yang, actually yang and yin, fast and slow, hot and cold. And I learned about that concept from Misho Kushi, the man who brought macrobiotics to America about 40 years ago. I studied with him. I lived in Boston. And so it has to do with the rate at which chemical reactions are happening. Certain chemical reactions are occurring in your body. Dr. Paul Eck found a way to measure that with a hair mineral test. And it's done with some of the ratios, not the numbers, not the levels, but the ratios. It's a bit more complex. And I discussed that on the website, how that's done. It's not too really difficult. It's an important concept because of metabolic typing. Metabolic typing is an ancient concept. Yang and yin is the most common one. But, you know, Hippocrates had metabolic types. I think he called them sanguine and melancholy. There were four of them. I can't remember all of them. There are many other systems. Ayurveda uses pitta, vata. You know, these are some of the ones that they use. There are three that they use. And it is a way to get a lot of information about a person quickly. Modern medicine does not use this very much. They don't. I think they're missing something there. But many of the ancient physicians, say Hippocrates, Ayurveda, the Taoists, which was the yin and the yang, and others have used the concept of metabolic typing. And what it is it's a systems concept. It is a measure of the whole system. And that's why it's important. So, for example, with you, Eva, by knowing that you're a slow oxidizer, I get a lot of information about you very quickly, instantly. And I don't have to run 100 tests to do it. So, for example, a slow oxidizer, generally speaking, the adrenals are sluggish. The thyroid is sluggish. The body tends to run cold, you know, colder than ideal.
Okay, I have a question then. If its body's running cold, does that mean I'm hot? Because I'm always hot. I mean,
you're always hot. Well, there are different reasons for that. As a four highs, you have a pattern called yang rising, and yang is heat, remember. And so on top of the slow oxidation, actually, you know what? If you have a 1 potassium, you're not a 4 high, but your sodium is very high. And that's a yang condition. And so, as I mentioned, there's layers in the body chemistry. And when the sodium goes up, it is a yang rising, and so there's excess body heat. So you may feel warm. There are other reasons why some people are warm. Women around the menopause sometimes have a lot of heat. If your body weight is high, you basically have more insulation, and you can experience body heat for that reason.
So they're different. So does that mean more potassium? What do you do for that?
Well, we have to balance your body chemistry. That's a process. We basically peel off the layers.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not a matter of just taking this or that. We have to go through the layers. I don't know if your daughter did that, but you start with where we are.
It was so stressful that I couldn't even think about it. So Pam just told her what we just did what we were told.
Yeah. Well, maybe Pam didn't explain it, but that's what we do. We start with where you are, and we peel off layers. I don't know. I think of, imagine a plant, and you're trying to nourish this beautiful plant, but it's covered up with layers of leaves and bugs and grass, and you have to remove all the stuff.
Can you tell my listeners, because I have the CD, and I also have your book, to listen to, but assuming that somebody else has this problem, give them an idea of what you would.
Okay. Well, what I was doing is I was going through some of the characteristics of slow oxidation. In most cases, people do run a little cold on the cold side. They tend to be more on the depressed and tired side of things. They don't sweat as much. They tend to be a little more constipated than other people. These are general qualities of the body, and that's useful. That's useful information. Now, as far as what we do about that, we have to support the thyroid and adrenal glands. There are certain foods that help the slow oxidizers that George Watson came up with, which is adequate protein. We use a lot of cooked vegetables and a low-fat diet as a general rule. And no sweets. We don't do fruit or, sugars. And you got to be careful because that includes fruit and fruit juice, which people put in their smoothies. It also includes things like almond milk and soy milk and hemp milk, all of which tend to be sweet. We find that actually damages the blood sugar regulating mechanism, and it damages the adrenal glands. Everybody gets a digestive aid because everybody needs better utilization of their food, getting more nutrients out of their food. Then there are other supplements. There are supplements that most everyone needs. When you're a slow oxidizer, we find some B-complex vitamins are helpful. Not a lot in most cases, but some B-complex vitamins are very helpful. Then also some vitamin C and vitamin E. Not a lot, again, necessarily 1,000, 2,000 milligrams, but not a lot. And we give everybody something called TMG, trimethylglycine, and it's a methylating agent because when you're a slow oxidizer, often you have toxic metals, a lot of toxic metals, because your metabolism is too slow to remove them. It's sort of like a car that you only drive slowly and it can build up junk in the cylinders. The same
concept. Today, one of the hottest topics in the world right now is that thing called MTHFR.
Yes.
And that's related to what you're talking about. So everybody's real curious about that. So
okay, well, if you want, I can talk about MTHFR. It's a different subject, but I'll just tell you very briefly.
Don't they tie in together with removing the metals?
It does have to do with removing the metals. Because genetic testing tests much more than your genes, and they don't tell you that. It tests protein synthesis or biosynthesis. And so the MTHFR problem, which affects about half the population and involves the use of folic acid or folate, it's not your DNA necessarily. It can be your RNA or your biosynthesis, and that is affected by toxic metals. And so as you improve your body chemistry, they'll tell you that that can never change, but we find that it can change, and that's confirmed by testing. But you have to get your body healthier. In the meantime, we have people eat a lot of cooked vegetables. And you know, the word folate comes from the word foliage. And you get an awful lot of folate if you eat cooked vegetables 3 times a day, some with each meal. And so, then you don't have to worry about that problem.
A question that I know listeners will have would be, if you cook the vegetables, does it kill the folate?
Not at all. Not at all. It gets rid of some vitamin C and some vitamin E. It does not affect the B vitamins. For example, meat is a great source of some B vitamins, and people cook their meat. No. Cooking the vegetables actually makes the minerals far more absorbable, and that's why we do it, and it does not affect the folate.
So people who... I could ask 50 questions because I know you know so much about this. I don't know, 2 questions. I'll let you answer them how you want. If your liver's is not taking the metals out because of MTHFR mutations. Say, for me, example, I have double mutations on either side, and I can tell when I'm methylating or not, if for no other reason, looking at my poop and how I feel. But for the people who don't know, once they get that going, does their liver start removing the toxins? Does it start working better? Or is it always going to work at that poor level because they have those genes?
No. First of all, it has nothing to... First of all, if you take some folate, either eat a lot of cooked vegetables or take some methylfolate, which you can buy at the store, you skip the defect. You're fine.
Okay.
So this idea that suddenly you're doomed, I do not like it when doctors scare people. I don't like that. And they do it all the time. And the genetic test is the latest way they have for scaring you. No. We find on a nutritional balancing program, and the reason we use coffee enemas and saunas is because they can get that liver going much faster. Otherwise, it can take a couple of years, to remove all the, enough toxins to... do it, but we can speed the progress up sometimes 100 times by using the procedures. But sure, everybody gets well. I tell people the nutritional balancing programs tend to be mechanical. What that means is if you do the program properly, you get well. If you don't do the program, you don't get the results. But if you do the program, you get the results. It tends to be mechanical. You don't have to like the program. You don't have to agree with the program. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you just do it.
That's what we did. We didn't understand at the time.
That's right.
There was so much trauma.
It's not very easy to understand it. I don't understand it myself.
So the next question is, you mentioned...
I understand some of it, not all of it. Go ahead.
You mentioned, well, people cook their meat, so that's my question. If we cook our meat over medium heat, let's say if we cook our meat in a pressure cooker to make it tender, or in an oven at 425, does that kill... the good things in it?
No.
Or not?
Well, once again, if you cook food, you raise the temperature, you will kill or destroy certain vitamins that are very heat sensitive, like vitamin C and vitamin E. You will denature the protein. When an egg gets hard because you put it in a pan, a hot pan, you are changing the protein structure. You change the fat. In other words, there are definite effects of cooking. But when you do not overcook a food, there's actually a lot of benefit to cooking. For example, with meat, the main reason we cook meat is to kill parasites and germs, bacteria. There are people who eat raw meat. You probably know that. But you have to be very careful, and I have not found many times when you can do that safely. Okay? Now, there are more subtle sort of esoteric reasons, but with meat and eggs, with fat, see, we recommend raw dairy because dairy, when it's handled properly, is safe. It's not full of bacteria. But meat and eggs can be. And so cooking it is a good idea. Not overcooking it, cooking it. Vegetables, we cook them because it breaks down the tough fibers. Because cows who eat, you know, grass and other animals that depend on that, they often have several stomachs. Cows have four stomachs. And they chew their, they throw up their food and they chew it again. It's called chewing the cud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't do that. And they spend all day chewing, if you've ever, you know, sat around and watched cows.
Okay,
well, we don't do that. And so we can't use, a lot of that vegetable fiber just goes right through us. And with that is locked a lot of minerals and a lot of phytonutrients. That means other very wonderful chemicals. So what we find is, if you don't want to be demineralized, cook your vegetables. Cook your vegetables. You don't have to cook the dairy. It's better to eat the raw dairy. But the vegetables, yes.
Okay, we have, this time's flying. We have about 8 minutes or 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we might squeeze in 10. Earlier in the show, we were talking about different things that you did, infrared and maybe ozone things. Do you, is it okay to use a safe ozone machine, for lack of a better word?
Yes, actually, I didn't mention that, but that's another therapy. I'll tell you what I recommend. A simple way to get ozone is you buy an ozonator ionizer air purifier. Ozonator ionizer air purifier. It's a box, sits on your shelf, you know, like over your fireplace mantle, and you just leave it running. And it adds ozone to the air. You can also put it in your bedroom, and it'll add ozone, you know, even while you sleep, although it does the whole house, but it's a little more powerful there. And that's a very simple, the machine costs about $200, they sell them on Amazon. There's one called the Atlas 300A, for example. And it's a simple device, it doesn't require maintenance, it's quite safe, and it will increase the oxygen in the air in your house. It'll also help clean the air in the house.
What about oxygen?
That's a very simple way to get ozone. There are other ways to do it. You can do a peroxide bath. You can do rectal ozone, vaginal ozone. You can go to a doctor and get IV, peroxide or IV ozone. That's more trouble and probably not as safe. But adding oxygen, you don't want to go crazy with that because it's yin. But adding oxygen is helpful for most people.
So if you...
You can also ozonate your water, your drinking water, a little bit.
Is that, would you recommend doing that for enemas, putting ozone in the water?
You have to, the enema should be coffee. That's the finest thing that we found.
After you do
a coffee enema, with some of the cancer patients, they will put a little ozone up in the rectum. And it's done for about 1 or 2, you know, maybe 5 minutes, no more. No more. And it requires, you know, the right machine and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
That I know of.
We have, let me see how much time. Time goes by in a hurry, does it? We still have about 8 minutes. I looked at the clock wrong.
Okay.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, why don't we talk about the oxidation rate?
Okay.
First of all, when we're born, we're fast oxidizing. And the fast oxidizer, again, think of a car. The motor is kind of going fast, too fast. And then as we age, about age 3 to 10, everybody slows down. Most everybody slows down. Now, there are some people that stay fast or that are become fast later in life because of toxins or stress or certain other reasons. But that's the general pattern. Most people are slow. If you get too fast or too slow, a mild form oxidation rate is fine, sort of balanced. But if you get too fast, for example, children who are too fast, they become hyperactive. They get ADD, attention deficit disorder. They have trouble learning. They can't sit still. Again, think of a car that's going too fast, and there's a brick on the accelerator, and you can't slow it down.
So what's the best thing for people that, or kids that do that?
Well, we need to give them the right diet. They need more fat in their diet. No sugar at all. Sugar is absolute poison. That includes fruit and fruit juice. And then they need the correct supplements. And they need cooked vegetables, by the way, preferably with every meal. And then they need the correct supplements, which always includes calcium, magnesium, zinc, and copper for them. And then the rest is going to depend on their hair test to some degree. And we can slow them down. Having the oxidation rate too slow is like having a car that will only go 5 or 10 miles an hour. And that would be you, Eva.
Yes,
you may not realize it.
I do get that.
Yeah. Your car only goes 5 or 10. And boy, that can be very anxiety-producing. It can be very depressing. It can be. It can make you angry. It can give you brain fog because your brain is not processing fast enough. In other words, and think of a car that just will not go. Think if you had to drive across the country. Your car would only go 10 miles an hour.
Yes,
oh, my God. And, you know, there are so many people out there like that. They're just afraid to face the day. And they drink Coca-Cola or energy drinks or something like that all day just to get by. A number of people have told me they fall asleep at the red lights.
For people listening, since we don't have a whole lot of time, if they did your hair analysis and they stuck to your protocol that you provided or whoever your practitioner, because you don't do it directly.
I don't do it directly. You look up on my website, there are practitioners all over the world. And you can work by mail with any of them.
You don't have to go into the office. You can do it over the phone or by the mail. So
that's right.
When could they expect to see some results?
Most people feel better within a few weeks, I would say. It depends. When I did it, when I started, I didn't feel too much, but then I had a lot of problems, and I had mental, emotional problems in addition to physical problems. And the program wasn't as good in those days. It wasn't as powerful. But most people report feeling better with fairly quickly. I mean, a lot of people feel better within a week just from changing their diet. I get a lot of emails about that. People email me with questions.
Here's another question I have.
Yeah.
And this is a big one with everybody I talk to.
Okay.
People like me that have all these MTHFR mutations that have to take this active folate, if I take too much active folate, I'm on the couch, and I'm not kidding, for a week.
Yeah, because you don't need very much, Eva.
So
how much is too much?
I can't take more than 400 micrograms at one time. Or
Per day? 400 micrograms per day?
I can't take more than two per day. And
so 800 micrograms a day. Yeah.
That's the most. And it took me 2 years to build up to that.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I think there's a lot that people are not getting about the MTHFR. First of all, if you eat green vegetables, particularly green ones, but cooked vegetables in general, you will get plenty of folate. If you take too much, it's possible to over-methylate, or it also could cause a detoxification reaction that is not pleasant. So does it just make you tired, or does it make you feel strange?
It made me feel like I was dying.
What does that mean? Like no energy, or you have a headache?
No energy, my skin aches all over. I have these pains in my lower back, and it feels like, you ever had a cold sore?
Yeah.
It feels like that in my lower spine, in my lumbar, and in a certain place in my gut. So I know it's viruses expressing.
One possibility is that it is actually causing some type of detoxification reaction, and because your diet and is not right and you're not doing the procedures, your body can't handle it. So that's certainly a possibility. There are a number of possibilities, but With your calcium at 446, I know your body is quite toxic.
I think I'm taking too many vitamins.
Well, that's another possibility, that you're confusing your body.
You know, this person put me on a protocol 3 years ago when I had that heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've been on it for all this time since then because I don't have a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have a doctor that I really believe in. And I think I'm vitamin toxic now, but I don't know which ones to stop.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I offered you a program, and you can decide if
I'm going to look at it. I mean, I'm going to do that program because I know you helped Jessica. But, I mean, that's what brought me to you,
yeah.
Dr. Wilson, because I know I'm doing too many things now.
Yeah, well, the other thing is I would never – we don't keep people on a program more than 6 months without a retest. I tell my consultants, if someone hasn't gotten a retest in 6 months, we don't really want to work with them because your body will change. So something that you were given 3 years ago, not likely to
be. Then, but it's too much now, I think. But
yeah.
I didn't have – the doctor that I go to really doesn't understand it, so I was, like, got desperate.
Yeah. Well, the body changes. If you do things right, the body will change, and so the program has to change.
Okay.
Some of our people don't understand that, and they just don't come back for a retest. But that's very unwise, and the programs can definitely make you worse. They can make you worse.
I
they can throw
that.
Your body out of balance.
Well, it's we're out of time, so please tell us one more time. It's Dr. L. Wilson, right?
Yeah, drlwilson.com. drlwilson.com. And you can send an email or whatever. There's a lot of information there.
For you, if you have an addiction, if you have mood disorders, this program works. It really, really works.
Yes, we didn't really talk about those things, but it helps most mental illness, most mental emotional illness responds nicely.
Thank you so much for taking time. I mean, we were kind of scattered and everywhere, but it's because you have so much information and don't know where to go because you have so many choices. But thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I hope you'll come back soon.
I will.
Ask you some more questions.
I would be happy to.
Thank you.
All
have
right.
A good one.
Bye, Eva.
Bye.